Hey, this is Brian Durkin here, host of Full Belly Laughs, and you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Show you how to properly pour a nitro beer. So, all right.
What, honey?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, goody.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Oh, she sure is. She's hip as hell.
Rob.
She's as hip as... Me too, Rob. I just got your text. Nice.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Well, we're recording now, right? Since when have you not been shy about just throwing this shit on the podcast? Okay, so. All right, here we go. Watch. Watch. You got to pay attention.
I'm watching. Right. Don't hurt yourself. Oh, no. Look at that. That's foamy. Well, not too bad. It's got a lot of the
flavor
bubbles in there.
You got to watch.
I'm watching. I can watch and talk.
Watch the magic happen. Watch. Give it a second.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's only another minute. See, that's the difference with the nitro beers because it's there. You go.
Yeah, it's not like overly, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of head on the top where normally if you would have poured a regular beer, it would have been half of it. Well, actually, more than that, it would have been almost all foam. It's
fucking tasty. Here, I'm going to take a quick picture here.
Yeah, I'm doing my pictures now, too. Add photo camera for Untapped.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm fucking Rob. Damn it.
And I'm fucking Robert. And you're listening to episode 19 for Monday, May 22nd. 2017.
We should keep that. That's good.
I like it.
Let's move on. So today on the show, we're going to recap our last conversation with our elderly listener. We're going to talk about, of course, the beer we drink. Also, what do our dreams mean?
We'll talk about the latest in men's fashion, dumb shit people have done lately, and of course, a crazy news story.
All right. How's your week?
It's been going great. Today has been amazing. I'm on cloud nine. The little boy has been struggling with the bat at baseball and went 3 for 3 today, drove in a run, scored a run himself, and accounted for 2 of the 3 runs that the team scored and had a chance to score the winning run, but I sent him and, he got tagged out.
Hey, that's cool, though.
Win some, lose some. Hey, but it was the first game that they scored anything, so that's good. And, 3 games in, we're 0-2-1.
Hey, that's cool, though.
Yeah, it's fun. He's been struggling and just having a hard time with the machine, and I've taken him twice to a hitting coach that's kind of worked out a few of the kinks, and I don't know, something just seemed to click today, and we've got another game tomorrow, so hopefully we'll be able to continue it.
I hope so. You know, I think, you just, as kids growing up, you just, at some point, you kind of hit a groove, and sounds like maybe he hit his.
Just with the struggling, it's kind of gotten him down, and a lot of the kids, and I wanted to talk about it a couple weeks ago, because we've had a couple times where, in the games where the kids have just, like, they break down. Like, there's a lot of pressure on these kids, and they're 7 years old to perform. And, you know, I'm generally pretty good. The coaches are a little bit hard on them, but mostly on their kids because their kids are there. But hopefully tomorrow we'll get the W.
So you didn't have to beat up any of the other dads today?
No, I'm standing there on the field. I got a video of it and everything, so it was great.
So you're the first base coach?
I was today, but okay. I think I'm going to be third base coach where it's a little bit easier over there. What's going on with you? You have anything exciting happen? I know you made some purchases.
We did. We got some new cars this week.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I'm excited.
Toyotas, Hondas, what? What do you guys buy up there?
Over my dead body. Listen, we live in the Motor City. Of course we. And my dad's a Chrysler retiree, so we're Chrysler people.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt that I get the employee discount through him. But I got a truck, which I'm pretty pumped about. I had a truck before, and then ended up trading it in and getting the 300, which I like the 300, but, you know, once a truck guy, always a truck guy. So I really grew to love my truck, my first truck, and instantly, literally, I'm driving the 300 off the lot, and I'm starting to miss my truck already. So I was happy to get that back. Kelly got a Journey, so she's no longer driving a minivan. So she's a hip young mom.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Uh-huh, elderly exactly. Listener making another debut here in the soundboard.
She gave us so many drops last week.
Yeah, I pulled a couple good ones that we'll sprinkle throughout the day, but anyhow, it was fun having her on.
Yeah, so they gave us a good deal. We used Schaefer and Bearline Chrysler up in Frankenmuth, and they brought the cars down to us. Jason over at the dealership's a pretty cool guy. We've been using him for years, so we're driving our new cars, and I was given a little bit of shit because I hadn't hauled anything in the truck yet, and after all, it had been, 4 days since I got it. So we went and picked up some mulch today so I could, just kind of...
Yeah, I did give you a little
maliciously
bit of
toss it in the back of the truck. No, I took a picture, too. I just haven't sent it to you. Like, there, okay. Everybody calm down. You're not the only person who was giving me shit for not instantly hauling stuff with my truck, but...
Yeah, around here, it's SUV paradise or... just basically, the soccer moms and just people trying to get around. Mostly, especially when you start to have kids, there's a lot of stuff you have to carry. So for a long time, people were saying, that about people who are buying the SUVs. Like, where are you going? You're going off-road. And, I mean, it's just basically a giant minivan or a giant station wagon. So that's kind of gone away as pretty much everybody has an SUV of some sort. So it's just an old stereotype.
I think some people just, like, for me, I just like being higher up on the road. So, I mean, it's, the truck, it has utility. I guarantee within weeks, people are going to be asking me to borrow it. Same people that are giving me shit for not hauling stuff right now are going to be asking if they can borrow it so they can haul their own shit. So, I like a bigger car. It's, personal
preference.
Just got to
make them apologize before you borrow it.
I'm going to make them do more than that. Apologize, maybe buy me a beer, and then I'll think about it. Speaking of which, this beer is delicious. So we get any voicemails this week?
Yes, actually we did. It's been a little while, and I was excited to see one pop in. And then, as I went to go listen to it, my excitement quickly deteriorated to fear.
Bob K, you will soon receive a present.
What the fuck?
The form of a cat. You'll enjoy, especially for pie.
Dude, this is like nightmare fuel.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I have no idea what that was. So, whoever you are, you're going to need to call back in and speak in English so that we can understand and we can respond accordingly. But a little bit creepy. A little bit creepy.
A lot of it creepy.
So, and as you called it, what? Nightmare fuel or?
Nightmare fuel.
Nightmare fuel. Yeah, well, I think everybody else will be having a little bit of nightmares too.
Bob K. You will soon receive a present in the form of a cat. You'll enjoy, especially for pie.
And I listened to it probably 10 times at varying levels of volume in my headphones. And Google Voice is actually pretty funny because it'll transcribe it and it was just basically basically gibberish. So I thought, well, that's happened before, when Bree left hers and your mom's left hers, where it doesn't get everything. And, you and I always joke about that with our phones. The dictation doesn't work that well. So I thought, well, I'll listen to it and I'll understand. And a chance.
This is the first, we stumped Google with this. For the first time ever, they were like, you're on your own. No
mind.
Clue.
Yeah, good luck.
It packed up its shit and locked the doors.
if you happen to understand what that said, let us know. Or if that was you, call in, let us know what it is. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. Just please explain yourself.
Hey, Bums. I'm hiding in your bushes.
Bob K.
Now, that part I got, is it Bob K? Well, that's... I'm Bob K, so...
You'll enjoy.
I like your shirt.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Are those new underwear?
No.
I like to watch you sleep.
That's right. Oh my God. As we just mentioned, you can leave us voicemails, 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627. And if you want to follow up with some feedback on that, how else can they reach us?
You can also reach us at thetwobobs.com, of course, all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast, and an email at hello@thetwobobs.com.
All right. Well, after listening to that, I definitely need a drink. So why don't we jump right on in?
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Drink my fears away.
Yeah. Does that sound like yours did when you poured it?
Yeah, not quite as aggressive, though. So for the first time since we started the podcast, I'm drinking a beer that we've already talked about. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I forgot if it was, you know, 2, 3, 4 episodes ago, you had a milk stout by Left Hand Brewing Company, and I was upset because it's a nitro and you poured it smoothly, which, you know, even though we've been trained for years to pour our beer like that, so that way you don't get all the foam. Nitro beers are meant to literally be fast poured into a glass. It doesn't expand and foam like regular beers, and it helps to kind of release some of the flavor in the beer and things like that. So I was at a liquor store today, my usual spot, building my own six pack, and I've been looking for this beer not only to show you how to properly pour it, but because it just looked delicious when we were talking about it. And I look up, and there it is right there. So I picked one up. I showed you how to pour it so you can do so properly in the future. And I've been already drinking it pretty aggressively here. So
how is it?
It's delicious. I love it.
I liked
so
it
excited.
A lot too.
I've been looking for it on Untappd, but it doesn't show that this liquor store has it. I haven't been able to find anybody that has it. So
when you checked in, did you tell it that's where you bought it?
You think I should have, huh? Nope.
You'll keep it all to yourself.
Yeah, I don't want there to be a run on this beer. If this is the only liquor store in town that has it, I've got to keep it a little secret. But then again, if I'm the only one buying it, then they'll stop carrying it.
That's right. You got to drive people to it.
I'm just going to individually tell people that they should go buy these beers in responsible quantities. So, but anyway, this is the Milk Stout Nitro by Left Hand Brewing Company. Super smooth with soft roastiness and mocha flavors. Taking America back. Dark and delicious, America's Great Milk Stout will change your perception about what a stout can be. Pouring hard out the bottle, Milk Stout Nitro cascades beautifully, building a tight, thick head like hard whipped cream. The aroma is of brown sugar and vanilla cream with hints of roasted coffee. The pillowy head coats your upper lip, and its creaminess entices your palate. Initial roasty mocha flavors rise up with slight hop and roast bitterness in the finish. The rest is pure bliss of milk chocolate fullness. It's a sweet stout. It's 6% by volume, 25 IBUs. It says the optimal temperature is to pour at 40 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit, drink it at 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So I'm glad I got it. Glad that I got to try it out today, and I'll definitely be buying more in the future.
Well, you know, you told me you bought that, and I figured since you were actually going to pour it correctly, it does count as a new beer. And for those that are interested, something that I added to the website this week is I went through and I put a separate page, and it's right across the top of thetwobobs.com. There's a What Are We Drinking tab, and it starts with episode 4, which is when we started doing this, and goes through last week, episode 18, and it has a link and a list of everything we've had so far. So a little reference for us, and if anybody else is ever curious, then curious as a cat, take a look there.
Is it bad that I didn't know that link was there until you just said it?
It's a surprise. Oh, I might have told you, but...
Well, no, honestly, I've been thinking, you know, we should keep track of the beers we've had on here. Episode 18, you had an elderly listener, too. That's sweet.
Yeah, elderly listener put her dentures in and enjoyed a Pineapple Beach by Funky Buddha Brewery. Nice. So she had to go in there, and originally I started out as like a table, you know, doing it in Excel and being an Excel geek. But then I realized that I'd have to have, you know, a third column for guess of some sort, and it just didn't work out. So I just did it in a regular layout.
Oh, this is cool, man.
It's kind of fun to look back and see where we've been and where we need to go, what beers we haven't touched. But I've got a favorite of mine, which for a long time before I really started branching out, I've always liked the Sam Adams brand of beers. This is the first time I've had this one, which is surprising, but I'm having the Samuel Adams Rebel Grapefruit IPA, which is very similar to beers that I've had in the past, but this one says, Rebel Grapefruit is brewed with real grapefruit for a bunch of citrus that amplifies the tropical fruit and citrus notes of one of the Sam Adams Brewer's favorite West Coast hops, Mosaic. And it's a grapefruit Indian pale ale available year-round. Malt varieties, two-row pale malt blend and flaked oats. Special ingredients are grapefruit juice and grapefruit peel, and it definitely has that flavor. It's got, it says 52 IBUs, but I think a lot like last week where it feels like it's got more than that in there. So I like it a good bit, and I bought these special little tasting glasses for all the different beers we'll be trying. And
I like that.
Hopefully the flavor will come out, but I like it. I'm going to... We'll be having a refrigerator in the garage is going to be a good thing where I'll be able to stock it. And this one will definitely go in there.
Does it say Stella Artois on the glass?
No, it does not. And I'm dreadful that I'm going to pour this over my laptop. So I'm going to be careful. Good stuff.
You did it. You did it.
I did it without spilling a drop.
Nice.
Except in my throat.
Sam Adams, I like some of their beers. Their amber is good. You know, it's not technically a craft beer, but we'll let it go. Because
right.
I think Sam Adams is kind of like the non-craft craft beer, kind of.
Yeah, they're so big now that I don't think it really counts. And I think we'll probably touch on some of that another day because there's a lot going on in the craft beer world. So we can save that for a later episode and kind of dive more into that because there's, like I said, there's quite a bit going on, but I like it.
We have been known to talk about beer.
Who else talks about beer? And being in this podcaster community, which is kind of small but large at the same time, you end up running around in the same circles as a few others. And this week we happen to make it on another podcast. We've talked about them in the past. They're out there in Ohio, but it's a podcast called You Don't Know Ish. And you... I actually listen to the show, and I don't know how much you do, but you actually have the theme song memorized, where I don't, so...
Do that shit a cappella.
That's just how much you pay
appreciate
attention.
It. If they would make that the intro music to their next episode, I would be so honored.
Yeah, do you want to do it again so they can pull the audio?
Let's do it.
Okay, go. All right, go ahead. 3, 2, 1.
You don't know Ish.
That's perfect.
I thought it was good.
That's a wrap.
Boom, nailed it.
This week they were going on a particular topic that is something that we haven't touched on, but they did reference a previous show of ours, so I'll play you what they said and we'll go from there.
So I'm gonna talk a little bit about Dream.
I love it. I love Dream analogy. Yeah.
Nope. Dream analysis.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really funny. I was actually, because we were talking about podcasts earlier, I was listening to the Two Bobs like last week.
Love the Two Bobs.
I do too.
Rob and Robert.
I love them too.
No Bobs.
Two Bobs.
But Two Bobs.
And they're on Untapped, which is amazeballs, because I love amazeballs. Yeah. Sorry. That's all right. But they were talking about some of the dreams that they had, and one of the Two Bobs, I don't know which one, Rob, Robert, Bobby.
So now I'm getting them confused, because there's a Rob and a Robert. Robert, I think, is the one that he and I have very much the same outlooks and drinking preferences.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think he's the one who isn't the stouty guy as much as the ales and the pale ales. I don't know. I'm going way too far into it. But
but the one of them had a dream about they had a leaky ceiling. Like, that was his dream.
Did there was a leaky bed?
He did not say.
That's exactly what I would think. I mean, that's immediately where I would go. Leaky ceiling. I must have peed the bed.
I don't know. Well, hey, Two Bobs.
Yeah, you need to let us know.
Let us know.
Did you pee the bed?
Did you pee the bed?
Were you drinking before you went to bed?
So, probably.
Well, there were two.
No.
I was going to say, there's two questions there. A, were you drinking before you went to bed? And B, did that result in you having a dream about a leaky ceiling that made you pee in the bed?
Well, I did drink before I went to bed, because if you remember, that was the night of one of our episodes where you talked about the leaky ceiling in your son's room, having that paranoia of a leaky ceiling and all that entails with that mess, as you know. I went to bed with it. So, yes, I did drink. No, I did not pee the bed.
I'm glad we really...
Are you the stouty one? And why does that seem to me like, you know, and again, you're more like a Danny DeVito. To me, he's the stouty guy. You know, he's the short, you know, wide guy, and you're the opposite of that. Well, at least the short part.
I'm hoping she's talking more about my beer preference and less about my stature.
Right. But when I heard it, that's what I thought. You know, like she said, hey, you know, I thought he peed the bed. That's what I thought. So in my stouty. Head, oh, the stouty guy, I think, oh, well, he's, no, he's, you know, he's 6'12", you know, he's big.
6'12", not 7 feet, but 6 feet, right. 12 right. inches.
Well, I'm 5'12", if anybody asks. So you're nice. The stouty guy. I'm now, stouty. Do you pee the bed?
I mean, not, you know, not.
Only if you need to.
Yeah, I mean, if I can't. No, I can't remember the last time I pissed in anything that wasn't, you know, a toilet or a urinal or
trough,
you know, a tree or something like that. But
okay.
Yeah, the troughs at Joe Louis Arena, which are being torn down. See? I wonder if they'll let me buy the trough and put it in my podcasting studio here.
Well, if you get enough people to pee in it, you can make beer.
That's true. I can make some really nasty beer. It doesn't apparently taste like piss, even though it has piss in it.
Yeah. When I dream, mine are stress related. It's either, you know, something like that where, you know, there's a hole in the ceiling, there's, you know, rain coming in, or something about the house is falling down. You know, my air conditioning doesn't work, which it is out, so they're coming on Tuesday. I dream about work a lot where, you know, I kind of wake up in a sweat thinking, you know, oh no, I work with schedules and everything's got to happen in the right way, which is why I am the way I am. So I'll dream about that and I'll wake up and, you know, luckily it's just a dream. So what do you tend to dream about?
So I dream about stuff like work and stress and things like that. But there's two particular types of dreams that I have a lot. The first is I have a dream specifically about the worst job I've ever had, which is in a call center selling mortgages, which was maybe, I don't know, 15, 14 years ago. It was a long time ago I worked there. And I have a dream that it's my first day there, and I'm just kind of being walked around, introduced to people. And the whole time, though, I know that I've worked there before, and I'm thinking, why the fuck am I here? I hated this job. What happened to my old job? What have I done that's brought me back to exactly where I least want to be in the world? So that's one dream I have. The other one, and I quite enjoy these dreams, and I have them at least maybe once a month, twice a month, zombie apocalypse dreams.
And I know what happened. Are you the zombie? Or
no, I'm never zombies? The zombie, but I'm always somewhere. Okay. One time I was in Myrtle Beach at my in-laws' condo.
Of course.
I've been home. I've been in my parents' neighborhood that I grew up in, and the zombie apocalypse has started. There's infected all over the place. And, you know, I'm with a group of people who are not infected, and we're basically just trying to, like, get away from them or figure out what to do. So I basically relive my own concocted scenes of Walking Dead.
Right. I was going to say, are you the Rick Grimes of the group, or are you always the Shane?
No, I'm always the Rick Grimes of the group. Let's face it.
You're in charge.
What's funny to me, though, some people might think, yeah, okay.
In case anybody's wondering.
No, I'm listening. You know, I can hear you while I'm talking.
I'm going to isolate my audio in this where it's going to be subliminal.
Again, this is that control I make you think that you have of the show.
Okay. You will soon receive
this guy right here. This guy is actually going to be in my dreams tonight.
You'll enjoy.
Maybe he's part of the zombie apocalypse. If you run into him, ask him what he said.
What's weird, though, is most people would think, God, a zombie apocalypse dream, that would be more of a nightmare, right?
Like nightmare, yep.
No. I wake up and I'm perfectly cool with it. I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's...
That was cool.
Didn't really happen this time. Maybe next time. Like, I'll wake up and, you know, tell Kelly, hey, I had another zombie dream last night. Like... She can vouch. I have these dreams quite often where I'm in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
Now, do you write any of them down, like, so you know, or do you just remember them?
No, I just remember them. I remember the circumstances and things. I mean, it's not a particularly crazy dream, like an intricate dream. This isn't, you know, fucking Inception here or anything like that. It's just I'm either in a building trying to keep the zombies out, or we're trying to get somewhere else. We're stealing cars. We steal cars sometimes in there. It's good. It's weird. Nice. It's weird, but you know, that's how my brain works.
Yeah, but they're not the same story every time. No. It's always something different. Does it relate to anything else that's going on, or is it just it's fresh material each time?
No, fresh material. It's like I wrote another scene in Walking Dead where the zombies were coming and we were trying to get away from them.
Okay.
Really, the only thing that changes much is the scenery. Like I'm in different areas of the country.
And you recognize the scenery at all?
Or yes, is it just... it's always a place I recognize and know.
All right, well, next time you have one, you let me know.
I'll be sure to let you know. It's been, last one I had was probably a couple weeks ago. Huh. I had to go, that was when I was at my parents' neighborhood. There's a field, like, right next to their house, and I was driving a car or a van or something through the field, mowing over zombies, because we had to get somewhere. Taco Bell was closing.
So you're saying it's pretty much every time you see elderly listener, you have a zombie dream.
And she's always one of the zombies, and I end up killing her first.
Rap.
If my mom were a zombie, that's exactly what she would say. Most of them are like, ugh. She's like, rap.
What, honey? What, honey?
So many audio drops.
Good times. Well, if anybody's interested, the episode where they talked about dreams was the Marilyn Manson Reveries and Rivals-ish.
They took the fact that I called them FIFOs, with stride as well.
Okay. It's actually not youdontknowish.com. It's youdontknowish.podbean.com is where you can find their show. So let's talk about rompers. Have you seen all the hubbub this week about male rompers? I'm sure you have.
Oh, no.
Because we've talked about it.
Yeah. It's like, really, though?
It's never a surprise.
It's ridiculous. Rompers for guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think anything that Cam Newton's wearing is not for me.
Like, I'm all about rompers for women, because they show off the goods. But a romper for a guy, like, I don't need to see any of that, dude. Like, you can't be, you really can't be a man and wear a one piece, like a onesie, right?
I don't think so. But evidently, this is a new thing, or at least they're trying. There's a Kickstarter campaign that has this, and here's a little piece of it.
On May 15th, 2017, Aced Design will introduce the original Rompim, and you'll see why this summer is about to get romped.
The Kickstarter page says, what is a Rompim? Which I guess is the opposite of romper. It says, turn heads and break hearts when you take your Rompim for a spin. Is it a romper specially designed for men? Sure, but it's also so much more.
I thought rompers that women wear are specially designed for men.
Typically. Although, looking at the pictures of these guys wearing it, it's not really for guys that look like us.
No. I mean, you like do the magazine something style to take care of themselves. Is that what you're talking about? I had pizza for
although these guys are drinking beer in the picture, but they don't look like they drink very many, or they work out quite a bit more than we do.
They probably drank the beer and then went and threw up in the bathroom.
We realize that wearing a romper will be a new experience for many of our customers, so we think this calls for a new approach to sizing. Instead of it giving only garment measurements, we've created recommended ranges based on your height, chest size, and the waist of your favorite pair of pants. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically...
Your height, your cup size.
Yeah. I mean...
Can I get it with shoulder pads in it?
Probably. Now, they've got some pretty cool designs here, if you were to pick from this. They're relatively guy-friendly with this, the solid patterns and... actually, if I were to pick one, I'd probably pick this 4th of July special edition, which is the red and white striped, like a striped shirt type pattern with the blue background with the white stars for the pocket and the same thing that goes around the neck. So that would be fun to wear at the 4th of July party in the neighborhood.
I like the blue romper with the white furry coat on over it. I don't know. I like I'd go with the green. The lime green
with the mint.
I like mint. Yeah, the mint with the pink blazer on over it.
Yeah, so it looks like there's a light like a baby blue, the light pink, the mint. There's this cool looking polka dotted color, and then the other one that they said was out, which I don't know why it's out of stock, but it's the splatter print. And it looks like it's basically white with, if you were to take a paintbrush and just kind of flick the paint at it, it's got the paint splatter all out. And somehow that one's out of stock. So I guess it was big at the Kentucky Derby. And like I said, Cam Newton, who's the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, he was wearing it around. So again, anything that he's wearing is generally something that I won't be seen in.
The one with the polka dots on it looks like it would camouflage a lot of different bodily fluids.
You could spill your beer on it and it won't matter.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
But, yeah, he's playing pool. He's there. He's got his hands in his pocket, leaning up against the wall. Looks like this guy is giving. That's not really a piggyback, but I guess he's up on his shoulders. And
this guy's wearing like Timberland boots.
Are they laced up though?
Halfway. They're halfway laced.
He's slick.
Yeah. There's a particular type of guy that wears these things. And it's not us. Neither of us fit that type of guy. I don't care. Even if I actually, you know, had some resemblance to somebody that, like, exercised on a regular basis, I still wouldn't wear this shit.
Now, their goal was only $10,000, but they're already up to $340,359. And almost 3,000 people have backed them with 23 days to go. So my guess is we're going to start seeing these around. So a dollar goes to the first person that sends us a picture of somebody live actually wearing it.
And then also you can't... somebody takes a picture of somebody wearing it in the wild.
Yeah, but you got to be a selfie and you got to be able to prove it's you. You know, I'll PayPal you a buck. No incentive there, so no. Not really going to lose anything.
No. If you could take a picture, please, and send this to us. I'd like to see what actual real people who aren't paid models look like wearing one of these fucking rompers. Because I got to tell you, these things have Walmart written all over them once you get them into the general public. I'm just saying.
No, that's probably true.
Speaking of stupid shit that people do, have you heard about this guy who jumps on a trampoline that has 1,000 mouse traps on it?
Looks like these guys are in the UK, but Gavin Free and Daniel Garucci, a.k.a. the slow-mo guys, seriously threw themselves into their latest clip.
So these guys spent 4 hours arranging in like a circular pattern 1,000 mouse traps on a trampoline before this guy dove into the middle, and it took literally, I think, 4 seconds to set all 1,000 of these mouse traps off.
The duo captured the presumably painful experiment on camera, and the stunning slow motion footage is now going viral.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gav.
I'm Dan.
We're the Slow Mo Guys, and we're incredibly on edge right now.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
Well, it's not just because I'm about to jump into a load of mousetraps. It's because I don't want them to go off before I do.
Yeah.
This took hours.
We've spent 4 hours doing this. We had a couple of calamities.
So what they did was they were setting these things up and using a little stick to kind of push the mouse traps into the right position so they could get them in the circular motion. He dragged the stick back and set them off by accident. So they had to redo the whole thing.
Oh, that sucks. 2,000 mouse traps they basically set up.
Someone could freeze frame and count. Let's get out of the way.
My favorite part is the janky ass table that they have this ladder, this step ladder.
Yeah, I just want to get on with it. Let's go.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
I did offer to do it though, didn't I?
You did. Yeah. You did.
I would have done it.
Yeah. But I didn't want to mess up the button trigger. I didn't want that responsibility.
Oh, God.
I don't think there could possibly be a jankier table to jump on. This is like horrendous.
Don't try this at home, ladies and gents.
I'm ready to go into the mousetraps, B.
Okay. Go for it. Yeah.
There he goes.
Oh, man.
Mace first, he's just wearing, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, basically. So
nothing on his eyes.
No. He'll cover that as soon as he gets up.
What's crazy to me is that as soon as he hits, these mouse traps just... Because he hits in the center of the trampoline, so all the mouse traps that are on the sides, basically because of the angle, fly directly at him.
Yeah. They basically... Because the way the trampoline works, when he hits the ground, I mean, when he hits it, they all kind of go right to the middle.
God.
So he's got one stuck to the side of his face.
It's got him in his hair.
How was that?
I think they all went off.
I think so.
I think they all went off.
Goodness me.
It's actually going in your hair. Wait, where did the goggles go?
I didn't put them on.
You didn't put the goggles on?
I forgot.
You're a maniac.
I was so excited. Idiot. I was like, oh, God. I just saw a close my eyes and hoped.
We had him. Where were they?
So yeah, they had him over to the side on another table, and luckily they didn't go off in his eye.
And actually, something even dumber that they did that they didn't put on camera is once they were done here, they went and ordered pizza with pineapple on it.
Don't put fucking pineapple on pizza.
No, you don't.
It just doesn't get old. So I mean, you know, they We can't possibly have more stupid people to talk about this week, right?
This one's actually not really that stupid. It's actually pretty funny, but there's a guy in Scottsdale, Arizona, who happened to be at the right place at the right time, and there's a car that ran into the side of the building, and he looks up and realizes that the Skycam is there and decides to break out into a dance.
And take a look at this guy. He is really taking into the action of Sky Fox being here and wants to put on a little show.
So he starts doing the little dance with the, looks like a, I'm not quite sure what those moves are, but he's doing the robot.
And, yeah, that's awesome. So apparently he works in the building next door, and when he saw in the news that they were flying a chopper over his work, he decided, why not go on to the parking garage and go on the roof and try to catch the helicopter's attention, and they did. They actually, the camera zoomed away from the accident that they were talking about, and just for a good, I don't know, 30 seconds, however long it was, just recorded him pretty close up, just dancing like a drunk white guy at a club. like how I dance when I go to a wedding. Right?
With phone in hand, the khaki-clad lads showcase some of the cringiest dance moves we've seen in a long time. Fox 10 was able to track the man down, who said he noticed the feed on TV with the building next to his work, so he hurried out to the roof. So yeah, he's just basically on his phone, and I thought it looked like he was trying to FaceTime somebody so they could see what he was doing, and you know, it doesn't happen if he's not posting it somewhere. So he might have been on Facebook Live, too.
I'm wondering if maybe he was streaming the television stream that was going on so he could...
Oh, to make sure he could still see himself.
So he knew when to start and stop dancing. What's funny...
All right, I'm a jerk. Nobody's watching.
Yeah, what's funny is this is exactly what I would do.
It's a good opportunity. And look, now everybody, they're obviously asking him about it. And he's on TV. He's on, you know, this was on Mashable. So, you know, hey, he got his 15 minutes of fame. And hopefully he'll stay around a little bit longer than the Catch Me Outside girl. But probably not.
Yeah, I doubt he'll have less jail time than her anyway. So
hopefully.
Since we're on a roll with dumbasses today, another story that we found on BuzzFeed, it talks about this guy who told a shark to fuck off. And it's Australian.
Yeah, so it can only be Australia, which, of course, this is a giant, great white shark.
It says
so.
it's Australian AF, which means it's Australian as fuck, which is pretty funny. Aussie Nicholas Wilkes was out fishing with his dad late last year when they came across this great white shark right on the side of their boat. A couple of days ago, Nick got around to uploading the footage to Instagram, and it's going off.
Yeah, go fucking go!
So they're pulling their fishing net out of the water, and this great white clings onto it and is pulling it back down. And he pulls it up, and he's punching the great white shark in the face. And then finally, the great white does let go, and then he's like, fuck off.
You know, it's very Australian. And there's always, you know, you see that all the time with Australian things. Either they're big-ass spiders, or they're big-ass sharks, or they're, you know, big snakes, and... He wasn't having anything to do with this shark taking his net, so...
Yeah, but it's a fucking great white shark. Take the net. Yeah. Take the net, not my hand.
The tip of his nose is kind of beat up, so it said right before this that he had punched it in the nose, so it probably wasn't happy, and eventually it let go and swam away, but that's crazy. I can't imagine. I mean, it's probably not the biggest one that's out there, but it's still, like you said, it's a great
it's
white.
It's a fucking great white, alone. Yeah. Okay.
The net's not that important.
Great white, you want my nets? Here you go. Take my net. I'll go get another one. I only have, you know, they can't replace my hands. I can replace the net, though. He grabs its nose and, like, pushes it down, man.
Yeah, all it has to do is open its mouth again, and it's, you know, there goes his hand. So, okay. Oh, well, better him than me.
Yeah, but...
My favorite dumbass, though, is this guy in Florida, and there's, you know, if you know, a lot of these stories come from Florida, but it says a Florida man is recovering in a hospital after his attempts to kiss a rattlesnake went horribly wrong. Ron Reinold was playing with a rattlesnake that had been captured by his neighbors the previous day. At some point, Mr. Reinold attempted to kiss the snake, a local CBS channel reports.
He was in panic, straight up panic.
Charles Goff describing the man who witnessed a rattlesnake bite in Bostwick. Goff says Tuesday afternoon, that man and Putnam County father Ron Reynolds were messing with a snake Goff had previously trapped.
Goff said Reynolds picked up the snake and was playing with it, and when he went to kiss it, it bit him on the tongue.
The other boy came running over here in panic and wanted me to go over there, and I said, just call 911.
There's a gentleman that told me he just got bit by a diamondback rattlesnake, and there's another gentleman carrying it. And he's sitting on the tongue, and he's bleeding from the mouth.
On the tongue. The guy was trying to make out with a rattlesnake.
Yeah, he says, the next morning before I got up, they were playing with the snake. Looks like, I guess, the neighbor had caught it, so they weren't quite sure what to do. He says, I'm going to kiss it on the mouth.
It's a diamondback.
Or you call somebody. I mean, they have, especially down there, where it's not quite Australia, but they got crazy stuff that will kill you. Call somebody that knows how to take care of it. But, you know, he picks it up with his, I guess, with his hands and decides he's going to kiss it, thinking it's not going to bite him. And sure enough, it did.
And what's crazy about this, too, so he went to the hospital. They put him in a coma over the incident. And apparently he woke up and he's signing with his hands and starting to come back. But, dude.
Ron was just acting silly, you know. I guess he thought he could kiss the devil and get away with it, but evidently he didn't.
He should run for president.
Wrong.
Well, you know,
that's along the lines of punching a great white. Just leave it alone, leave the snake alone, and call it.
You know what's funny? I'm reading this article from the Washington Trails Association, and it talks about how to get out of sticky situations with rattlesnakes. None of it says that you're supposed to keep it and then play with it with your friends.
Anywhere near your face.
And try to kiss it. Certainly don't make out with it.
Yeah, keep it away from your hands, away from your face, away from your feet. You know, we went to the national parks a week or so ago, and they have stuff up there. Like, if you see it, leave it alone. Yeah. Don't, you know, try not to step on it. You know, certainly not pick it up and then put it near your
face. If you hear the rattling, you're supposed to, well, find out where it is and slowly move away from it.
Yeah.
You certainly don't keep it
Don't get closer.
Keep it for a pet and then try to... What was he going to do next if the rattlesnake kissed back?
Well, that's the part I'm wondering, too, is where's the rest of the video? Evidently, he was doing this for his friends to, you know, get on camera or get on video. So somebody's got to have
a surface.
You know, somebody's got to have that somewhere.
I'm just wondering if things would eventually progress. Like, all right, we got through first base. Let's see what else the snake will do. The snake's a real slut. Sorry, I had to go there.
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
Yeah, I got to tell you, his mom probably wasn't very happy with him, though.
No, only in Florida.
She is in Florida right now. They're coming back Thursday, though.
Good thing you got the grass cut.
I got the grass cut today. I was really afraid of how long the grass had gotten. Luckily, last time I cut it pretty short. So when I came today, it was manageable.
Were you able to cut it without FaceTiming her to get it started?
I did it all by remember everything. I did it all by myself. Didn't need mommy's help that time.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So since we've talked about so many different ways that stupid people do stupid shit in the world, I figured maybe this week we could have our crazy news story be again about some dumbass that does something stupid. So this was on foodbeast.com, which I've learned to love their website, by the way, and their Facebook feed. They talk about crazy food stuff, but some of it's like food news and things that have happened around or
stuff we talk about.
Yeah, a lot of the same shit we talk about, you know. So this is about some idiot who punches a cop at a McDonald's and gets the living hell tased out of him. So, you know, punching a police officer generally sounds like a surefire way to get yourself shot in some form. Luckily for this man, though, he punched an officer inside of a McDonald's. He got away with a warning of sorts by only getting 50,000 volts of shocking him instead of a bullet to the ass.
I mean, kudos to her for, you know, especially with all the stuff that's going on with police and the, you know, the general public and, you know, kudos to her for realizing what the situation was and realizing that she could basically disarm the situation by using the taser versus an actual bullet. So there she is.
Get on the ground now. Get on the ground.
So he's already got his dukes up, and she's got it pointed at him. She started out, looks like, no, that is the taser.
Yeah, he really does like have his dukes up too, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, and she's standing at the door.
What do you think he's pissed about? They're out of nuggets. I wanted some fancy sauce with my nuggets, and they didn't have any mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Well, I was pissed when they were out of hot mustard not too long ago.
Did you punch a cop?
So,
please tase him. I want to somebody say.
That's the guy
please
that's recording. He's like,
motherfucker.
I gotta get out of here.
He's just like squaring off with the cop.
Yeah.
Good for this lady. I mean, she's not a lady I'd want to go fist the cops with, but
yeah.
He gets closer to her. He's like saying something to her.
Yeah, that part's
it's for her protection.
Yeah. I guess people must have been asking why she had the... Oh, she starts to put it away. So she's going to come in and try to cuff him.
Oh
bam. Punched her in the cheek.
Boom. Uh-oh. Oh, man.
She pulls the tip. There's 50,000 volts.
Oh, man. He's just down for the count.
He's... Oh, man.
Oh, blasted him again. He got the darts with the wires, like, just stuck in him.
Hit a fucking woman. You don't hit a fucking woman.
That's right.
That's the last time he'll do that.
Oh, man. Dude, why the fuck is... This guy must be on something, because as soon as she stops tasing him, your body immediately recovers from it. Like, you have control of your body. He's purposely not rolling over.
Yeah.
Dude, she's just... everything, that clicking noise is her lighting him up with this. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's every time that she tells him to do something, it's usually when you hear the clicking. So it's like he can't move.
Well, she's saying move. He's not moving.
I don't know how he can... Like you said, he's got to be on something. I don't know how he can even possibly...
Oh! He does a full. He goes too far.
After all that, we're 3 minutes. Do not move until someone else comes here. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm
saying? You never place your hands on anyone. Damn. Do you understand me?
Now we didn't count. Do you understand what I'm saying? We didn't count how many times she tased him before he finally went. Okay. And then rolled over. You know, it's got to be at least five times that you heard that clicking noise where she just pulled it again. He didn't listen. And then she'd hit him again. And he didn't listen. She'd hit him again. And eventually he's like, all right, I give up. You know?
The Food Beast article says trips to McDonald's don't have to be this dramatic. I know it's irritating when their ice cream machine is broken. But as mad as it makes you, you know what? Just don't ever punch a police officer. There we go. Sound advice from your friendly neighborhood food beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy had deserved everything he had coming.
He had it coming, and again, he is lucky to be alive after that. It could have gone wrong, but, you know, she did the right thing.
It's kind of hot, too, now. I'm just kidding.
Well, you can't really see her.
No. I mean, she's not a lady who you want to... You probably want to fight.
No, she's, you know, and again, there's a lot going on there where it could have ended worse than it did. So hopefully she got some sort of recognition for doing the right thing in that situation and, you know, again, making the best of it.
I think what would probably hurt just as much as being tased are those fucking darts, because they're like little, literally like little...
Yeah, they're
hooks.
Little barbs, like fish barbs.
Yeah, they're hooks.
And he rolled over, you know, at the end when she kept telling him. She told him, what, 5-6 times, and finally when he did it, he rolled over... Look like 2 times. So those things are pretty good and embedded. And I think they've got to use, you know, they got to call the ambulance to get those out of there.
It depends where they hit. And I know this because I work in security and having to get the cops involved in the past. I've seen plenty of people tased. But when they shoot those darts, if it's anywhere near the groin or the heart, or I believe the head, they need to have somebody remove them who's a medical professional.
Well, the YouTube clip says the guy gets tased in the, you know, and his nether regions for punching a female cop. So it wasn't evident in the video, but maybe whoever was there saw it. And,
can you imagine being tased in the dick? I'm just saying.
There's no way if that actually happened, it would have taken 5 or 6 times before he was like, okay, that's it. Yeah, I mean, right?
I would have been.
Again,
listen,
unless he was on something.
Well, I wouldn't have punched the lady in the first place. So, I mean, you know, again, I think this guy was on something because you get... Yeah. Again, I've seen probably at least dozens of people get tased, and this was years ago, but I remember, I mean, you fucking listen. You listen to what, you give them whatever they want because you don't want to have to go through that experience again. This guy was on something, so.
Yeah, he had to. Well, if anybody else is out there and been tased, or you've seen anybody get tased, or know somebody who's been tased, or even tased yourself, let us know.
Probably a lot of police officers, because I think it used to be in order to operate a taser as a police officer, you had to get tased yourself.
So you know what it was.
Yeah, but I think a lot of departments have moved toward more just, you know, a, volunteer basis if you feel like getting tased. I mean, that's kind of like saying, well, if you want to be a police officer with a gun, you got to get shot first. Like, you know, it's probably not something. You're probably okay with not knowing what it feels like.
Well, that's a good thing, too. If we have any police officers out there that know firsthand what this is like, let us know, too. So we have a good idea of some of our listeners, but not all of them. So I'd be curious if there are any law enforcement out there that can let us know what the what it's like.
All right. Well,
another show in the books.
I think episode 19's a wrap. You know, in 19, you can drink and smoke in Canada and gamble.
And move to Canada.
Yeah,
hopefully.
So if there's anybody near Canada that's listening and you're 19, head on over. That's what I did.
I don't know.
A lot of crazy stuff between the ages of 19 and 21 went down in Canada for this guy right here. So as always, you can reach us by phone at our voicemail at 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. Where else can we be found?
You can email us at hello@thetwobobs.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Bobs Podcast. And as Rob said, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Have a good week.
Have a good week. Good night.
Good night.
Preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.